Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Putting guys in great situations and great positions to make plays, and it's really been fun to be a part of. If he gets a head coaching job, that's what coaches dream of, you know? Just like players want to have high accolades and make Pro Bowls, and if he gets the opportunity, I'm going to be happy for him.
Justice Hill talking about Todd Monken, who's interviewed for head coaching possibilities here in the offseason that now has begun officially for the Ravens after their loss to Buffalo. Todd Monken will be heading into his third year as the OC, and you heard the praise there coming from their third down back special teams demon, Justice Hill. And hey, he's maximized this offense to the most part. Lamar Jackson's stats were the best of his career. Derrick Henry rushed for almost 2,000 yards. Actually, counting the playoffs, he did rush for over 2,000 yards. This season, Zay Flowers was an all-pro, starting with the midway point, Vinny, of last year. Isaiah Likely has become a playmaking tight end. So what's not to like about what Todd Monken brings to the equation?
Yeah, and I think the best thing, Bob, is look at the improvement from year one to year two. That's the improvement. I mean, just the passing. Lamar threw for over 4,000 yards, quarterback rating, MVP back-to-back years. The thing, because I'm guessing that most coordinators probably signed three-year deals, Bob. So he's going into the final year of his deal. And I would imagine that because he was a college guy coming into the NFL, probably made okay coordinator money, or maybe at the low end of coordinator money, and now probably deserves to be paid 2 years in a row having a top offense and stuff. I would think he needs to be paid more than he's getting right now. So I probably re-up all the coaches that have a year left on their contract. And I think Harbs does too, right? Harbs got a year left. So Harbs would probably be up for an extension.
Now, if we're sitting here a year from now with the same circumstance, they've lost in the divisional round of the playoffs, are those extensions something you're looking to hand out, or they're going to just prevent that by taking care of this business in the offseason? Because the last thing you want is to have, air quotes, lame duck coaches.
Dallas.
Going into a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Dallas. Yeah, you definitely. Yeah, that's why I think something will get. And, Bob, knowing Bisciotti, I mean, I don't know him great, but I know him enough, and I know he's an outstanding owner. I think all that stuff will get taken care of this offseason.
All right, now let's get back to the roster, and we're projecting for 2025. You have a stud quarterback. Josh Johnson was the backup. He's a free agent. He's pushing 40. Backup quarterback. You know, it's a physical game. Injuries happen. Lamar himself, not going to what it doesn't happen anytime soon. He's been knocked out of seasons. Priority backup quarterback. What are you looking for? Someone similar to Lamar? Or, you know, maybe more pocket presence guy?
I would look for somebody somewhat similar. I mean, because Bob, most quarterbacks that come out nowadays have some athleticism and have some running ability. So I would look for a younger guy. I mean, I would not bring Josh Johnson back. I mean, I'm not bringing a 40-year-old because Lamar, knock on wood, he has made it through. But, you know, I need a guy that has a little capability of running the football and doing similar things offensively that Lamar. So is there a guy out there? I don't know that. Or is there a guy in the draft that you like in the middle to late rounds?
Because they took Leary last year.
Yeah, from you know what you read and everything, they let T. Martin pick out the guy that he wanted, and then Bob, I mean, you go out to the practice and you watch him, like, What did they see in that guy? You know?
Running back Henry Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell, another year removed from surgery, so they should be good there. Where's Rasheen Ali fit into the equation?
They like him. So you can keep five backs, you know, on the roster. So it all depends on what else they get, you know, receiver-wise, Bob, because the receiver room's kind of empty. Now, other than, you know, Zay Bate and Walker.
Okay. So Tylan Wallace is a free agent, too.
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to get a lot of action out there, Bob. They may be able to get him back cheap in special team guy, sixth receiver, fifth receiver, that type of guy. Yeah, that would work. But I need to get like another Aguilar kind of guy. You know, somebody that'll bring something to the equation, because Zay and Bate will be the starters. Walker's got to make the big step now. You know, he needs to become that guy, real. He needs to become a solid three. And then you go get, you know, if you have Wallace for your fifth or sixth, then you get another guy. And maybe it's a return guy that is also a receiver in the draft.
Yeah, but real quick to wrap up running back, they don't need one. Nope. List of priorities, it's probably last.
Yes.
I would think wide receiver, as we just talked about, definitely an area of need. Not concern, but depth-wise, need. Tight end,
they're pretty well set, Bob, with Andrews likely and Kolar. I mean, if there was a... It all depends on what happens with Ricard. You know, let's say Ricard leaves. Then are you getting a fullback, or are you getting like another kind of tight end / fullback kind of guy? So that'll be interesting. Because when Ricard came up, Bob, he was what? A defensive tackle.
Yeah, and he played snaps there too. Yeah. There finally, that's enough of that. But anyway, we talked about Stanley McCary both hitting free agency this offseason. Same with Ben Cleveland. So what offensive line maneuvering is going to take place, at least for depth, getting some guys back, maybe letting some younger players who learned get a chance to get their feet wet here. Josh Jones, for instance, who they signed, he's a free agent too.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some one-year guys. Cleveland will be gone. You know, Nick Samak, who they drafted, he'll be a backup. They're gonna need a guy or two in a draft, Bob. More so, I would think tackled, because when you look at the guard position, you got Voorhees and you got Falele. And then if you get McCary back, then, you know, you got three guards. So you can use any type of depth in the draft, O-line-wise, guard or tackle.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's NFL Lunch here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. We're cranking it at 12. Pick a song. We'll play it. Send your request. Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. We'll get to the defense tomorrow, because right now we're going to come back, talk about the championship games in the National Football League. We're looking at our picks, the standings there. As you know, I pick Notre Dame, and we'll get into all of that fun stuff. And we'll talk some Orioles baseball with Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, bottom of the hour. We're less than a month away for pitchers and catchers. Is the roster set, or what else is up the sleeve of Mike Elias? So 31-15 at the time, you wind up getting nothing.
Right.
You're down, you know, two scores with the help of two-point conversions, let's be honest. So you're already at a kind of a low probability to convert all of that stuff. Not impossible, but low probability nonetheless. And you know, Jeter doinked it off the goalpost there. They did score and made it even more interesting, turned it into a one-score game. But he's going to take a lot of heat, I guess. The fact, Vinny, they were down 31-7, even made it a game. I think Notre Dame should be commended for that. Because at 31-7, it was like, well, puffy pants, hammer time. Can't touch this.
You know what I'll be anxious to see, Bob, is the TV ratings. Because, like you said, at 31-7, a lot of people are flipping it because it was 10 o'clock.
When did it start? Like more 10 of 8?
Yeah.
So they say 7:30, but you got to do 5 bazillion different things.
Right. So I would think a lot of people checked out in that game. Now, back to Freeman. the thing is you just, you don't have a lot more opportunities. That's the thing. You know, like if you're in the third quarter, I got no problem with what he did. But, you know, you're 5 minutes left in the game and, you know, your defense has done a pretty decent job. You don't have a lot of time. You know, you only have so many timeouts. You got to get two scores. So that's not going to help. Think in that type of situation, you probably got to go for it. You know, I mean, fourth and goal from the nine, Bob. Your quarterback's not the best passer in the world.
Right. Even though he threw the ball all right last night.
He threw it okay. But analytics, I'm guessing they probably say go for it. But the thing, too, is Freeman, he's got to go with his gut, you know, and like, my quarterback got zero chance. You know, I mean, I got to be lucky to get this.
It's not like he's got Justin Tucker in his prime kicking that. And you saw the reaction on the sideline after
he was distraught.
He got kicked in the gut with that one. But either way, Ohio State wins. So let's get to the picks. It's for booze. And we're coming into the, college football's done. Now it's all about the NFL. Three games left, two championship games, and then the Super Bowl and all the crazy prop bets that go along with us. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Beer for the Bobster and Nolan. Mick Alter's over here for a guy that's watching his weight. And for Nolan's the old Yinglings making it happen. And Vinny's trying to double up. He won the regular season. Now looking to add another bottle of vino to his postseason resume. So let's recap what happened last night. I know I took Notre Dame. And I was, you know, after they scored on that first drive, I was like, hey, it's all right.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And then Ohio State said, well, hold my beer. I'm going to score in our next three.
Yeah.
Have fun with that.
So Vinny and I went with Ohio State. Bob, of course, said he went with Notre Dame. So the updated standings so far in the postseason, I'm out in front at 10-3. Vinny, two games back at 8-5. And Bob, a lot of work to do. 6-7.
6-7. So I need prop bets to hit. And then sooner or later, I'm going to get mathematically eliminated. Hey, do they have an ATM in the building here at Odyssey?
No.
God forbid they take a car to get a bottle of water around here. Who walks around with $2 worth of quarters in their pocket anymore?
If they did have an ATM, there'd definitely be a surcharge.
Like casino level, $9 a pop surcharge. All right, championship games in the NFL. Start 3 o'clock Sunday. We have them for you right here on 105.7 The Fan because the Terps play at 12 at Indiana, which we'll talk about over the course of the week. But Commanders at Philly, this is the third game between the two. They split during the regular season. Philly wins the first one in Philadelphia 26-18. And then Washington won that crazy game down at FedEx or whatever the hell it's called now, 36-33. But Hurts got knocked out of that game early, and Jaden Daniels went off. And that, I mean, they were getting like touchdowns late and two-point conversions. I mean, that was one of the wilder games of the season. Odds makers right now, according to ESPN Bet, not really feeling Washington, not dismissing them by any stretch of the imagination, but Philly by 6. And I'm guessing it won't be snowing like it was against the Rams a couple of days ago.
No. And
39 and sunny is what they're saying for kickoff.
Ooh. I just, Bob, that Philly defensive line is so damn good. And Jalen Carter, man, he disrupts everything. That's going to be the key if they can handle Philly's defense, I think. I mean, having N'Kobe Dean out, that was big for the, you know, them. But Washington, I mean, they're playing good, Bob. They got confidence.
House money right now.
No doubt. No doubt.
But was it Kevin Ostreicher, I believe, talking earlier about this game? You know, the Philadelphia offense outside of Barkley, I mean, Brown hasn't been doing much as of late.
Nope.
I mean, Hurts appears to be content just to kind of manage games and not turn it over. Rams had 8 sacks this past Sunday. Maybe the weather had something to do with that. I don't really know.
And
there's
probably
no Verse on the Commanders, by the way.
Yeah, and Verse was the one that was ripping the Philly fans. I mean, can't really rip him. I mean, he kicked their butts.
He had 3 sacks.
Yeah. Washington doesn't really have a go-to sack guy. I mean, Bob, when you look at Philly, they got Barkley, you got Smith, you got Brown, you got Goddard. I mean, you got great weapons. They got to use them.
A.J. Brown and Smith were looking like they, 2 years in a row, they had these great starts. And then once you get to, you know, late November into December, things get a little, little quiet. And they start reading
books. I will
say
this, though. Watching that game, Bob, the weather did suck. There was snow blow, you know.
Hey, but old Matt Stafford looked comfortable airing that thing out.
Oh, boy, did he ever those last couple drives?
Once they went no huddle. So we'll do our predictions for these on Friday. And then Buffalo, as we know, at Kansas City, take it on the Chiefs. Chiefs are 2-point favorites here. Buffalo, they play well against Kansas City in the regular season. Beat them again this year, but 0-3 in the postseason. Two of those games at Arrowhead. Obviously, this is where this one is going to be. So it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, Mahomes, and the Chiefs trying to become the first team to ever win three straight Super Bowls. I mean, Green Bay won three straight titles back in the 60s, including two Super Bowls. But during the Super Bowl era, this has never been done. And it doesn't seem as though, and they're undefeated at home, by the way, Kansas City, this is their best team. But yet here they are, just kind of moseying along, and nobody
finding
can beat
them. Yeah,
nobody can beat them.
And they're healthy. And, you know, I mean, who stepped up for them, Bob? Kelsey. Kelsey's the one that got them, you know, I mean,
showing
Kelsey
off in front of his girlfriend and Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, he's kind of their emotional guy, and he made plays when they needed him. Bob, it's just hard to bet against Kansas City because they just find they've been in so many close games. They expect to be in close games. They expect to win close games. So it's hard to bet against them.
I'm still kind of leaning in that direction. What do you think, Nolan? Even though they started trouble, those Bills fans with our boy Rashawn and Trippy and Dustin out there.
Fighting the good fight.
Well, they always seem to find trouble, right. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's them. They keep it cool down in Pickles, which is all that matters. But that being said, I made the proclamation Buffalo and Baltimore, and I stand by it because I truly believe it. Winner's going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I'm sticking with that. So that means, duh, I'm taking Buffalo.
Well, I'm interested to see how Buffalo starts this game. They fell behind early against the Ravens, didn't have any issues climbing their way out of it.
And New Orleans. Right. Or not New Orleans, Denver.
Yes. Good point. Yeah. And aided with some turnovers there in this most recent game, are they going to be able to do the same thing against a Pat Mahomes who, let's be honest, this time of year, forget what he did in the regular season, no one is more dialed in January and February than Pat Mahomes.
Well, the championships speak for themselves, don't they? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan. Orioles haven't won a world title since 1983. Are they close to winning one in 25? We'll talk to Rich Dubroff about the off-season so far, and we're less than a month from pitchers and catchers. RichBaltimoreBaseball.com. Then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw coming up here around 1:45 or so, and then Inside Access takes over, too. It's Turning Up Tuesday here on The Fan. Our friend and yours, Rich Dubroff. Rich, what is happening?
Bob, it's a beautiful cold day.
Yes, it is. And I'm feeling the cold just staring at it. Yeah. And I can't wait to go out and get into it. But let's talk about something that's going to warm our heart, like pitchers and catchers, in less than a month. But Anthony Santander, and you know, a tough gig. They got him. We know the backstory. Got it from the Indians. Rule 5, had shoulder problems, then became a, you know, kind of a standout on bad teams. Then he became a big run producer for good teams. He's out. He's going to Toronto, 5 years, 92-plus, with options for this, that, and the other thing, maybe even an opt-out. Once O'Neill signed, was the writing on the wall, or was Anthony Santander, Rich, coming back always kind of a long-shot proposition here?
Yeah, I never expected them to be back, Bob. I mean, they offered him, they gave him the qualifying offer, which would have been $21.05 million this year. I think they would have been happy if he took, you know, it would have been fine with them if he took it. But for a 30-year-old, pretty one-dimensional player, I think 5 years is a lot of money. I loved Anthony, and personally, I love Anthony Santander. He's one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite guys. He livened up the clubhouse. A really positive, fun person. I hope he does really well, and I hope he does well for 5 years. But I just don't think that that's. You know, a smart way for them to spend their money, especially when, you know, they have a lot of other young players who, are a lot younger, and they could attempt to extend.
Now let's look at how you replace the 44 homers, the 102 ribbies, and everything else. I mean, he's always been 25 to 30, 90-plus RBIs. He's been a run producer. Do you do it with one guy based on what we see on the roster right now? Is there going to be another acquisition? Or Rich Dubroff, is the position player pool kind of full right now for Mike Elias?
I think the position player pool is overflowing.
Oh, right.
because right now I don't see a place on there for, you know, unless there are injuries, and there will be in spring training. I mean, they never come with the projected roster. I mean, a lot of us could easily come up with a 26-man roster that's the same. But, you know, we know that there are going to be a couple of injuries in spring training, but there's no room right now for Kobe Mayo or Emmanuel Rivera on that 26-man roster. To add another outfielder would be pretty hard. So I think that we're going to try and get Tyler O'Neill and Heston Kerstad to sort of make up for those 44 home runs. And I think that's certainly possible. You know, they've never seen Heston Kerstad play over an extended period of time, and 2025 is the year. So it's not just Tyler O'Neill, who has 30 home run power, but if they could get a lot of production out of both O'Neill and Heston Kerstad, I think that they'll be just fine.
Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Now let's move to the infield, and we know the offensive potential for the Gunnar Hendersons, and Mountcastle, I guess, is happy about the fact that the wall is moving in. But what about Jordan Westberg? He was an all-star. When he went down, it was kind of coincided, Rich, with the offense hitting the skids there. Expectations for him, is he going to be your everyday third baseman? Does he still get starts at second base? What about Jordan Westberg having for him a even bigger season, and dare we say even more of a breakout campaign?
Yeah, I think that that's what they're banking on. But it's going to be interesting because they still have Ramon Urias, and you know, I think the feeling is that they want to go with Jackson Holliday at second base. Now, I don't know that they want Jackson Holliday to be playing against a lot of left-handers. So I think it's possible that you'll see, again, Westberg at third most of the time when Holliday's at second. And then when a left-hander starts, maybe you'll see Westberg at second and Ramon Urias at third. And I know we saw some of that last year. And, you know, also there's Jorge Mateo. So there's certainly a lot of, a lot of options here. You know, a lot of fans, you know, they write to me all the time, emails, tweets, whatever, Facebook messages, and they all say that the Orioles, they don't think the Orioles have done enough this offseason. Well, part of it is I think that they're expecting growth from within, that Westberg is going to be even better, that Adley Rutschman is going to have a bounce-back season, that Holliday is going to play up to his potential, and that Heston Kerstad's going to do well. If all those things happen, they're going to be just fine.
All right, Rich. Now, they danced the dance, apparently, with Tanner Scott. He went and signed with the Dodgers like everybody else is this offseason. As we're less than a month away for pitchers and catchers, if there's one area of need still with the Orioles, what is it?
Well, I think, you know, either a true number one starter if they want to make a trade, or go with, you know, yet another bullpen arm, you know, another guy in the back, you know, a guy in the back end. Tanner Scott would have been fine, but not for 4 years. I think he would have been fine for two or maybe three. I just really have a problem with relievers getting 4 years. They got Andrew Kittredge, who I think is going to be just fine for a year. They were willing to apparently give Jeff Hoffman 3 years until he failed the physical. And, I mean, Carlos Estevez is still out there. So it's possible that they go with, you know, they sign yet another reliever. But I think, I think that they have a pretty deep club. It would be nice if they could have re-signed Corbin Burns. but you know they're going to try and sort of have as much depth in the starting rotation as they can, so that if guys go down, they have, you know, 10 possible starters, and maybe 12 if you count Bradish and Wells, assuming that they're going to be back the second half of the season.
Hey, Rich, you talked about Santander, you know, in the locker room and stuff. Who fills the role in the locker room? You know, because some of these veteran guys, who becomes the locker room guys that they may be missing?
Well, you know, I think the locker room guy that they're really missing is not only Santander, but James McCann. I think James McCann was a terrific clubhouse guy, and he's not going to be back. But I think, you know, some of the young veterans are going to grow into. I think Jordan Westberg can be a real clubhouse leader. He's a very, very thoughtful guy, a serious guy, and a really good player. So I think Westberg can fit nicely into that spot. And then maybe Colton Cowser, matures and is ready to assume that. You know, Rutschman is more of a kind of a, you know, I'm sure he's a lot different in the clubhouse than he is with us, and he's not, he's not a real outgoing guy. And maybe Gunnar Henderson assumes that role. But, you know, Gunnar Henderson is, you know, the third youngest guy on the 40-man roster. So usually those kinds of guys aren't the clubhouse leaders. So I think that they have certainly some candidates for that.
Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich, always appreciate your time and the information. Finish that plumbing, whatever it is you're doing here in the background, Rich Dubroff.
Well, actually, you want to plug?
Yeah.
I'm actually eating lunch at Jimmy's, and there's a guy who is cracking open a lobster.
Oh, well, good for him.
That's what that sound was.
Was he hitting with a sledgehammer? All right, Rich Dubroff, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Rich, we appreciate the time as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
There's Rich Dubroff, Idiot Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access at 2. But a Tudor Games thing just popped up out of nowhere. Tudor Games, they make electric football.
Oh, cool.
Multiple times. And I'm like, really? Are we that? Do I say something and my computer hears what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, you know, Tudor Games pops up?
That was Ethel.
I wasn't searching around on no interweb for, I don't play electric football. I sucked at it when I was a kid. I definitely don't even have the time to invest in it. But Nolan, I don't know, man. You got to watch what you say.
It's funny you mentioned
somebody's
that.
Somebody's listening somewhere.
I've seen the electric football ad on my feeds as well.
Oh.
And I think it's got to be my phone sitting here. Something is picking up the rejoin of the show.
Right.
Or if you come back from break with a tidbit about it, it would hear that. Mm. It's the only thing I can think of.
How about good-looking blondes in French-made uniforms. They're going to start popping up a little bit. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Anything to say to the people on the way out the door?
No. I mean, the off-season's here. It sucks, but we're
gearing up. And Vinny's going to Harbsy and DaCosta tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes, asking the hard-hitting questions.
Yes.
Like, what the hell was going on with Mark Andrews? Why isn't he talking to us?
Yes.
No.
I'm sure that'll go over well.
Right.
As a matter of fact. All right, Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse.
Or brunettes.
The good old girls in this text reader. This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time.
Yeah.
For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, we'll start here with this texter who says the trademark Andrews crowd. Well, they're going to return this offseason. Texter says, I called it crazy a year ago, but maybe something to it now when you factor in the cap. 2025 is the final year of Andrews' deal. He's due $16 million on the cap, likely also a free agent after next season when his rookie deal ends. How do they navigate the tight end room moving forward?
I think now is the time to get a likely deal done. Because He's only going to get better. I mean, the guy with his yak yards. And look at the – he like, if there's a big play to be made a lot of times in the end zone, Likely's making that play. I like Likely just because the run after the catch is so good. With Andrews, I like be able to have both, you know, for another year. And Lamar likes throwing it to him. I mean, I'm going to keep him for another year. I'm not paying two tight ends. So I'm going to sign Likely this year, and then I'll keep Andrews through the next year. Then he can go after that.
This texter here says, John Harbaugh needs to hold players like Mark Andrews accountable, or any players that are making crucial mistakes in the game. Says, I'm not suggesting that they should have benched Lamar Jackson, for example, but as bad as Mark Andrews was playing, he should not have been on the field for the two-point conversion at the end of the game. You know he can't block anyway, and he already had the drop issues and the fumble. Just shouldn't have been out there.
Well, you didn't know he was going to drop it, and he had just caught a pass on that drive, like Bob had just said. Yeah. So, I mean, you don't know, like, oh, damn, he's going to drop this one.
And in that situation, too, no Flowers, no Bateman either. So you're even more limited in pass catchers.
Yeah.
Had a Likely.
Who just caught the touchdown pass.
Maybe he was tired.
Yeah. Well, it's always next year. Yeah. This texter here says, well, maybe there won't be a next year. Uh-oh. It says, sorry to break the news. This Ravens 2-year window is now closed. They blew their best chance they had this year, or maybe even last year, was their best shot to win it all.
I think next year maybe they'll have a better shot than, because this year the defense sucked at the beginning. They had to go get Dean Pease out of retirement to come in and help the defense because they were so bad. So they were figuring that out. Offense was pretty much good throughout, you know, and they were developing an offensive line. So I think next year's team's got a chance to be better.
Got to stop losing to the bottom feeders, though. And yes, they always get those clunkers in here.
Yep.
Got to avoid those.
This time last year when we were assessing the Ravens after the AFC Championship loss, there was a lot of perspective big moves to make. I mean, they had to deal with Matabike. They had to choose between Van Noy and Clowney. They lost the key defensive coach, really the whole defensive staff.
Yeah.
Left to pick up the pieces. This year it seems, I don't want to say easy, but it's set up to be a little more stress-free this time around.
And I think you said it, Norm. Harbaugh's press conference was much later because all those coaches were leaving.
Mm-hmm. Right. They waited to have that until some of the dust had settled. So maybe that's an indication that they think Monken is for sure staying around.
You know, and they had hurt running backs last year. Yeah.
And they lasted a week longer in the playoffs, too.
Well, they played the same amount of games. They had to buy, which is, that's losing to the bottom feeders.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will be back tomorrow with Woman Crush Wednesday. Talk more about the end of the season for the Ravens. Talk about whatever's happening in the world of sports over the next few hours for sure. Start creeping closer to pitchers and catchers and all of that good stuff. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, everybody, class dismissed.